We go now from blogging to an audio postcard from our Moscow correspondent. Russia is the world's largest country, and traveling across that country's 11 time zones can sometimes be a challenge. NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer recently found that out after being stranded in the Amur region in Russia's isolated Far East. He sent us this letter from nowhere.
When a lone helicopter took off from a tiny airport in the middle of the endless snowed-in taiga forest, I looked on longingly. It was the last aircraft there. I'd showed up for my plane earlier, only to be informed it had taken off more than an hour before its scheduled departure, even though I'd called twice that morning to confirm the time. The airport has only one telephone line and a staff of about 10 people. None of them admitted to being the one who misled me. I didn't know whether I was more angry or desperate. The next plane wouldn't be leaving for days. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. The ancient-looking two-story airport had been open only 3 months after years of closure. Now there was only one thing to do: find a way to kill time. 10 miles away lies the town of Tinda, where only the imported Japanese cars crunching over snow-covered streets indicated this wasn't the Soviet Union. I checked into one of the city's two hotels after being turned away from the first one by a woman demanding, "What do you want?" This crumbling hulk is called the Youth Hotel, but it's anything but. The squalid rooms inexplicably smelled of cooking gas. From my window, I could see empty hills surrounding the town's only power plant, belching black smoke into the pristine air. Out in the freezing cold on the town's main street, a barren boulevard flanked by rows of concrete apartment blocks, I asked some young locals what to do for fun. 17-year-old student Slavyana Durenkova says I'd already discovered the town's most popular activity, strolling along the main street. She also suggested ice skating. But the best thing to do, she says, is to invite friends home to gossip. Another resident, Andrei Utkin, says there are two bars in town, but they're expensive. It's boring here, he says, especially if you don't have much money. I decided to check out one of the bars. Two glum-looking young men were playing pool, but otherwise the place was empty. And that's the main problem in Tinda. Oil-rich Moscow may be crammed with restaurants and nightclubs, but there's very little work in the Far East. 70,000 people were moved to Tinda during Soviet times, and since the collapse of communism, they've been moving out in droves. The next morning, there was good news. A chartered plane flying natural gas pipeline technicians would be passing through, and the pilot had agreed to take me along. Inside the airport, the staff checking me in was very apologetic, which is highly unusual for Russia. No one had ever seen an American passport before. "Have you been to Hollywood?" one young woman asked. "Bruce Willis lives there, right?" As I finally trudged out to a small propeller plane on the airfield, I'd forgiven the staff for having missed my flight, and pleased that in some far-flung places in Russia, there's still a friendliness to foreigners the Kremlin's anti-Western rhetoric hasn't yet smothered. Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News.